Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Moments. My name is Rob Dickow, and I'm here with my dad, Gregory Dickow. Dad,
hey guys.
How are you feeling? It's good to be with you here for another round of Moments.
Feeling great. I loved last week's Moments. I loved Sunday morning services. I really encourage people to go back and listen to that or watch that again, because it's so liberating to really understand the power we have to keep moving forward and to keep pressing on. And God has given us the ability to not stay stuck.
So I
think people that feel stuck sometimes, they just don't, like, what do I do? I'm stuck in this job situation. I'm stuck in my finances. It's not moving forward. I'm stuck in this marriage. I'm stuck in this this sickness or disease. Like, God has given us some real secrets to getting unstuck. I encourage people to go back and listen to that and that from Sunday. So
yeah,
let's get unstuck.
Absolutely. Well, that's one of the reasons why we're here. We gather for Moments because we want to build momentum for our lives. We don't want to be in a place that's just stagnant,
and that's right,
we don't want to be like staying below the potential that God's created us to live in. So so we kind of have a different setup tonight. I mean, we're just here to talk. I use Moments personally and selfishly because I want to extract as much wisdom as I can from you to help my life get better. So yeah, I'm a little selfish in when
that's
I approach
awesome.
These conversations, but
me too.
I have a lot to give.
I want to get out of you everything I can get. So
we'll see what happens.
There's so much there. So let's see. But
we do want to take a moment and invite people to be a part of what we're doing. And one of the ways that people can engage with church, be a part of a church family like Life Changers, is in their giving. And so we do take a moment every time we gather to invite those that are watching to be generous and to give. And Dad, maybe you can talk about this, because generosity is something that we don't want to just pass by as just a it's just something that we do, but really there's a reason why we choose to be generous and why that's a part of our culture. And do you want to speak into that?
I think the greatest why behind generosity. We talked about the why in life last Wednesday on our Moments podcast and webcast. But the why behind generosity is because it's such a powerful tool. God created generosity. Well, first of all, He is generous, and God so loved the world that He gave. Like, He's always giving. And so we're tapping into, when we give, when we're generous, we're tapping into God's nature. We're imitating God, as the Bible says, be imitators of God. Well, what are we supposed to imitate in what He does? First of all, how generous He is. Mm-hmm. That's the greatest imitation. He loves with generosity. And I think love without generosity is really not love at all. I think love always includes generosity and shows itself in generosity.
Yeah.
So it's the proof of love. It's really a demonstration of love. And also the why behind generosity is every time people give into God's kingdom, not only are they setting themselves up for a better harvest, because God told us to use money as a seed. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a better harvest, but the harvest that truly matters most is not, okay, if I give, I'm going to get more money back. That's whatever you give, you're going to get back. If you give kindness, you're going to get kindness back. If you give love, you're going to get love back. The love we take is equal to the love we make, according to the Beatles on Abbey Road album, 1969.
Love it.
Vlad should know that.
Yep.
I don't see Vlad today.
No, he's not here today. Yeah, we got to get him in here.
Yeah, our George Harrison lookalike.
Yep.
But
the love you give.
Yeah, the love you give is what you receive. That whatever you give is what you're going to receive. But more importantly, and most importantly, people get saved through generosity. Mm-hmm. The more generous we can be, the more people we can reach. And it's really simple. Generosity spreads the gospel. Mm-hmm. Generosity is the demonstration of God's love, and generosity is how we can truly love with action and be love by giving, whether it's food to people, whether it's Bibles, whether it's solar-powered audio Bibles, like one of the great things we do as a church. I'm so thankful for that, and and appreciate all the efforts involved there. So there you
That's
go.
Great.
Those are some of the whys behind generosity.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you to everyone for being a part of that moment. You've seen ways that you can give. And if you're listening on the podcast, you can go to lifechangerschurch.com/give and be a part of what we're doing in that way. You did mention some of the things that we're doing outside of just our church and solar powered audio Bibles, plenty of initiatives that we're doing. We are celebrating Heart for the House in this season. And if you want to know more about what we're doing as a church locally and globally, you can go to lifechangerschurch.com/heart and see kind of some of the ways that we are making an impact through everyone's generosity. So,
and can I say, I just want to pray for people's lives and their finances and their businesses, their jobs. Lord, we just thank you that you will open doors for people that no man can close, that you will bless each person with a greater ability to be more of a blessing. I thank you, Father, for increase over every person who gives and even over every person who desires to give but is not able to right now. I pray that you would bless them in such a way that they would be able to give, that you would provide seed for the sower. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well,
one more thing I want to say. You mentioned some things about the church. The church is the greatest hope of this world is the church. The church has been through pandemics. The church has been through plagues. The church, I'm not just talking about our church, but the church universal, the body of Christ over the last 2,000 years has been through so much and has overcome so much and has survived so much. Nothing else has survived through thousands of years like the church has. And the body of Christ is the salt of the earth, the light in the world, the light of the world. And I think when people really understand the power of the church, that there's the gates of hell can prevail against a lot of things. Hell is having an impact in this world, unfortunately and sadly. But the one thing the gates of hell can't do is the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church.
Awesome.
And that's why being connected to the church, to a local body of Christ, even if it's just online only or in person, both, if you can do both. But that's where the power is. And there's power in there's harvest in the cluster. There's wine is in the cluster. The greatest fruit is in the cluster. Not one grape here and one grape there, but when we're a cluster together of grapes, that's where the harvest is, the Bible talks about. So get plugged into the church, get plugged into the body of Christ, be connected, stay connected, because that's where the river of revival flows.
Great.
Yeah.
Love it.
So let's move on.
Yeah. Let's dive into some stuff. I want to start this conversation talking about something I've been thinking a lot about lately or just dealing with lately. And I'm pretty sure everyone would agree in some way, and that is I feel stressed out a lot. What do I do about the stress in my life that I feel is keeping me from living like how I'm supposed to be living? And so I've just been thinking about this lately because, I mean, we all go through these modes in some way at some point where we're just like stressed out. Even if it's like little stuff, like I'm stressed out because I'm running late to something, and it's like then I carry that into the next thing, and then I think about other things I have going on, and then I'm just, maybe it's an overwhelming feeling for some, or maybe it's a specific situation that is causing stress, or it's just a general feeling of the state of our world that just feels stressful. But I feel like this is something that I would love to get some of your thoughts on and your input on how we can be a people that aren't so stressed out so much. And for me personally, like I thought about this the other day. Like, I don't want to waste my life being stressed.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to be able to look back and see the enjoyment that I had in my life. I want to be able to like have every day feel like, there's difficulty, there's challenges, but not unnecessarily, like me not staying in a state that isn't necessary. And I feel like stress is something that isn't necessary all the time. I think maybe there's a healthy, we can talk about that maybe, but there's probably like healthy stress in some ways that are signals to do something or to change something. But to stay in that state is something I want to avoid. And I just kind of want to start that conversation with you and any thoughts that you have around how can we get less stressed?
Yeah, I hear you. And I feel that. I feel that people are suffering from that. I think the church, the body of Christ, the teachers of God's word have not maybe we haven't done a good enough job to really bring practical wisdom and practical help to people that are dealing with stress, because the Bible has a lot of, well, there's a lot of stress in people's lives in the Bible, and there's a lot of remedies for that stress in the Bible. And so I've kind of created a concoction of, like, if you will, an elixir, some sort of cure for things like stress. I poured in a bunch of chemicals. Look, I poured in the Bible, the Word of God. I poured in my own experiences with it. I poured in the things I've learned from science and medicine about these things. And I feel like we have an answer. And I like to start out with stress. When we talk about stress, first, it's a signal, right? All emotions are signals to trigger some sort of response in us. And the right response causes that emotion of stress or anxiety to be used in a good way. If we have a right response to it, if we have a wrong response to it, it's like you said, you're going to carry it around with you. And that's when it produces sickness and disease in the body. Like stress causes, I mean, I just have some things written down here that I think along the lines that you're talking about. And when people talk about stress, there's signs of it and evidence of it in forgetfulness, chronic fatigue, cynicism, helplessness. This is all studied out and data driven. Feeling like a failure, constant illness, headaches, tension, migraines, high blood pressure, heart disease. I think we named everything everybody has ever experienced right there. The stress is the root cause of these symptoms.
Yeah.
And we have to, instead of allowing those things to produce forgetfulness and tempers and cynicism and negativity, we need to turn stress into rest. We need to turn that stress around and use it as a signal.
Yeah.
Because stress produces cortisol in our bodies, and that is enough, it releases enough chemicals in our body to have a fight or flight response to an immediate situation. Mm-hmm. But like you said, when you're carrying stress around, and you're not addressing it, not dealing with it, not confronting it God's way, then that cortisol continues to be produced in your body, and that's what breaks down your immune system.
Yep.
That's what breaks down your health. That's what breaks down your emotional strength and your mental toughness. Stress is a life buster, and so we have to have a stress buster that busts the thing that's busting our lives.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going with that.
Love it. I love it. I mean, I think you said it first of all, like, there are some truths in the Bible that, and this is pretty much how we approach every problem. Right. Like here, we want to make the Bible practical. Like, it is practical. We want to draw connections from what the Bible says to what our situation is and how that actually is the answer. I heard somebody say this the other day, like, every problem has already been solved.
Yeah.
I think it was Will Smith that I heard him say that. And he was like talking about like the problems that we face today are different because it's today, but there is a solution for every problem that we are facing. And so I see that as in the Bible, like, God has already gone before us and laid out all solutions to all problems. And it's just a matter of us applying it. So I love that that's kind of where we're turning.
Yeah. He knew the pandemic was coming. Yep. He knew that you were going to have people were going to struggle with finances. He knew people were going to struggle with disease and sickness. He knew people. He knows everything. Mm-hmm. He knows the hair, every hair on our head. He has numbered.
Yeah.
So God has already been there and back, and He's carrying us through.
That's good.
And I think there's a spiritual application to how we deal with stress, and there's a emotional, mental application that we deal with stress, and physical. And so, I think we should hit on all of them.
Yeah, I think what goes through my mind sometimes is that I don't know, it doesn't feel like stress is something I can control. Like, it feels sometimes like I am dealing with this because this is what I'm dealing with. Like, this is what the situation is causing me.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's hard to feel sometimes like, it's more so I feel like I just have to get through it rather than I can do something about it. And so, do you have any thoughts on how we can shift how we look at stress as something that we actually can control? And how do we go about controlling something that feels uncontrollable?
You know, it's a great point. We can't control when we experience stress.
Right.
We can't control when it comes to us and how it comes, but we have the power to control our response to it and how we manage it and even how we master it. I actually believe in something that is not just stress reduction. I think that's a big win for people if they can just get stress reduction. But I believe in a different word, and it's stress destruction. Like, there is a way that we can actually destroy it in from continuing in our lives. Jesus said in John 14, 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me." And then he talks about heaven. Like, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And then he talks about heaven. So there's something about having perspective there that Jesus is showing us one of the remedies to stress. Because when he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled," he's talking about don't let your heart be stressed out.
Yeah.
And because trouble comes, but he's saying, don't let your heart be troubled. You're going to have trouble, but don't let it get to your heart. Don't let it control your heart. Don't let it influence your heart. And then he gives us the secret, the key. He says, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go and prepare a place for you." This is so powerful because he's saying you're dealing with trouble and stress at this level because you're only seeing your present condition, your present situation. But I want to elevate your thinking, he says, and I want to elevate your vision, and I want you to think about heaven too. I want you to think about what I'm doing for you. I'm going and preparing a place for you. Because what's the worst thing stress can do in our lives that could kill us? In fact, and I don't mean that to be like to take it lightly at all, but it is the worst thing that can do. And in fact, it does kill a lot of people. I read that heart disease is the number one killer among men and women in America, other countries as well. But it also notes, the study notes, that it's the same among white, black, and Hispanic. You know, it's funny how we as people are dealing with equality and inequality issues, and we all with good consciences are fighting where we can fight where inequality exists. But stress and heart disease doesn't have any inequality. It doesn't have any racism. It attacks everybody. White, black, Hispanic is the number one killer among men and women, heart disease. And people used to think that where women was concerned, that it was just a man's disease to have heart disease. But they found, the study showed, that one out of every three women die of heart disease, while only one in every 31 women die of breast cancer. And we have a lot of efforts to stop breast cancer, but one in three are dying of heart disease. So, in fact, then the study goes on to say the number one ingredient that causes heart disease is stress. So eating right is vital, exercise is vital, but the one major indicator that causes stress or causes heart disease is stress. And so we can't ignore it.
Right.
And so Jesus is saying, this thing can kill you if you let it, but at the same time, even death can't ruin you, even death can't destroy you, because I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven. So I think the first thing that helps me be liberated from stress is the higher perspective that when this life is all said and done, we get to go home to heaven where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, that might not sound practical, but a shift in our perspective is practical. And if we can learn to look at life and the problems we face as only temporary, if we can master the concept that stress has its limits, stress has its time frame, stress has its, it has a negative effect, but it can't last forever, and it's not going to last forever. And I think that helps free me to then think about some of the other things that I can do to overcome stress. So that's the first thought I have on it.
Right. So being heaven-minded. I also think
perspective.
Perspective. Right. And another aspect of perspective, maybe one layer below heaven, is like the earth is going to continue to spin. Like tomorrow is going to come. The world is going to carry on, whether I feel stressed out or not. And so this problem that is maybe bringing me stress, while it may be a problem that needs to be addressed, it doesn't need to consume me. And I don't need to feel that this is what's going to change the entire world. Like tomorrow is going to, the sun's going to rise, sun's going to set.
Yeah.
Life is going to go on.
That's good. That's so right. That kind of perspective.
Balancing out. Yeah. Like, giving perspective to the scale of the problem, maybe it's not as great as we sometimes may
no, that's
make
really
it out
good.
To be.
So I think if we, yeah, absolutely. If we look at the results of stress, the tension and the illness and the heart disease and the high blood pressures, et cetera, and we go on and on with that list. If we look at that and realize, okay, how can we address that? We got to eliminate stress or deal with stress better. And how can we eliminate or deal with stress better? We have to understand the causes of stress. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, because if you can understand the cause, the underlying cause of it, then we can circumvent its power. So I wrote down some of the main causes of stress. This is in my life, mm-hmm. in your life, in people's lives. These are in common. So I put a letter U to start all these words with, but the first U lettered word that is the cause of stress is uncertainty. Mm. So when you have uncertainty about what tomorrow's going to bring, when you have uncertainty about your financial situation, when you have uncertainty about what kind of relationships you're going to have, and are my relationships going to be okay? Is my family going to be all right? This uncertainty, are my finances going to make it through the tail end of this pandemic or wherever we are in this thing? Or maybe we're not even in it anymore, but we still have uncertainty about our job situation, our health insurance situation, our finances. People have uncertainty about those things. And so that's the first thing, and we can attack it in a moment, but I'll give you three or four.
Yeah.
The second thing that I notice causes stress in my life and most people's lives is unresolved conflict. Mm. So if you have uncertainty about your future, and now you have unresolved conflict, now you're compiling and compounding the problem.
Yeah.
And then you have, and here's another real cause of stress, is unrealistic comparisons. So when we compare ourselves to others, it's unrealistic, but it causes stress. There is a study that has been done recently on teenage girls and how Instagram and TikTok mm-hmm. are actually harming the mental health of teenage girls because they were, and boys are too, but the study was particularly specifically about girls and how much comparison that they get trapped into and get discouraged by, and that causes stress, mm-hmm. major stress, unrealistic comparisons, and people that are older than teenage guys and girls deal with it too. And then the fourth thing, and we can attack any of these that you want mm-hmm. today, maybe we can talk about more next time as well, but then the fourth thing is unthankfulness causes stress. Like when you are focused on what you don't have rather than focused on what you do have, it creates stress. Mm. So you add uncertainty to unresolved conflict, to unrealistic comparisons, and then unthankfulness. These things are what create the demon, not necessarily a demon specifically, but the demon of our life, stress, are produced by those four things. Yeah. So we got to attack stress at the root of what is causing it, and those are the things that cause it.
It's really, really helpful. I think the first one with uncertainty is something I've been thinking about specifically with, my future. This could be a personality thing too, a little bit. You know, I tend to be more of a perfectionist. I tend to want everything to kind of come together, and I can't really rest until everything is kind of complete for whatever the thing is. And I have a hard time just being able to, like, I have a hard time being able to relax when things aren't like finished.
Yeah.
And so I want to finish stuff and then I can rest. And so I know part of that is personality, but part of that I think we all have in some way. So this concept of how can I be at peace when I don't know exactly how things are going to turn out.
Such a great
point. Paired with I don't feel like things are finished yet, or I don't have a clear picture. So I'm a little unsettled about, you know what I mean? So like I want, that's kind of where I'm at with the uncertainty and, you know, how can I go through my life? Cause I'm not going to know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to know always. And I'm not going to have a clear path laid out for my life. Maybe those are two different things, but I don't know. Can you speak into that one? Like, go, tell me what you're thinking based on that.
Honestly, I'm so corny sometimes that I just thought of another U word that you added to it. So now we have unfinished projects, unfinished life.
It stresses me out.
Anything that's unfinished creates stress.
Yeah.
And so we have to understand a couple things, that nothing is ever going to be fully finished other than what Jesus says is finished. And when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. But unfinished projects, unfinished, we always want our church to be better. Mm-hmm. So we could say that's continually unfinished.
Yeah.
We always want to improve on our lives. So we could say that's continually unfinished. We always have dreams and desires to start businesses and companies or jobs or relationships, and those things are unfinished. So we have to go to what God says is finished. And he said, and what about the unfinished things? He says, he who began a good work in us, he will finish it until the day of Christ Jesus. So we need to like back up and realize my life is an unfinished product until Jesus comes back. Because he says in Philippians 1:6, he says that he who began this good work in you, he will finish it. But he will finish it until the day of Christ Jesus. We know the day of Christ Jesus coming has already happened, but it's the day of Christ Jesus' return. And so God is still working on you, and God's still working on me. So I've learned, because I'm twice your age, over the second half of my years that you haven't lived yet, those are the years that I actually learned how to be okay with being an unfinished product of God in God's hands. I'm okay with that. And so because I'm okay with me being unfinished, and I'm going to go to sleep tonight knowing that I'm still unfinished, that there's stuff God's working on me and I'm working on me, I'm going to go to bed at night knowing that, like you said, tomorrow's going to come and God's going to be there in my tomorrow to continue to finish what he began in my life and what he began in my soul, my body, my spirit, of course. So I think that has helped me to deal with this perfectionist mindset that I probably passed down to you. I cursed you, but Jesus delivered you from the curse.
That's right.
But the only way that to deal with these unfinished aspects of life is to know that accept the fact, embrace the fact that things are going to have to be left unfinished every 24 hours, because you're not going to be able to finish everything.
Yeah.
And that God's okay with that. He's okay with you being unfinished. He's okay with our projects being unfinished. He's okay with our soul being unfinished, because he is the master and he takes his time. Think about how much time Michelangelo took to create the Statue of David or the Sistine Chapel. And he's the greatest artist that I can think of, but God is even greater. And if it took him that long, it took him years and years to do those things, God's still working on us. We have to be patient, and we have to like treat our things the way God treats us. He loves us in our unfinished condition. So you need to love your Wednesday in its unfinished condition, and you need to start loving your Thursday in its unfinished condition, and start loving the process more than the finished product. Yeah.
It's so much easier said than done.
Yeah, that's
though.
True.
Like, it's
that's
so true. Uncomfortable.
Because it was really easy for me to say that.
Right. That flowed well. I get it. It makes sense. I just need to work on building that habit, or that like reprogram the way that my relationship with unfinished work, my relationship with the process. And I don't necessarily know how. I know I need to, but I want to figure out maybe some of the steps that, like, how to do that. Or I guess one thing is maybe not letting that process or that thing define me so much.
Yeah, that's
because
true
I think
too.
If that's, that may be something that I do, is I need that to be finished so that I feel better about myself. Mm. And if something is not done or not complete or might not look like we know it's going to work out, I don't feel like I have it together, and then I feel insecure, and yeah. I don't know. So I think there's something there. Yeah.
I'm going to say something really controversial and, you know, shock communication style. You need to cheat. You need to be a cheater.
Okay.
We need to be cheaters. We are so often married to this image we have of our finished product, our finished life, we're married to this picture of what we want life to be. Mm. And what we need to do is we don't have to give up that life we want it to be. We don't have to divorce it, but we need to cheat on it and have an affair with the unfinished process. The process. We need to have an affair with the process. Okay. We need to fall in love with the process.
Okay. Interesting.
That's this is one of the things I've learned in my life personally, in training physically and getting in better mental and physical shape. I've started to realize that there's more joy and happiness for me in having a better relationship with the process and having a loving relationship with the process than just going to the gym and working on my diet and what I eat. Instead of being so married to, I gotta have this outcome, I'm more in love with the process of always having another day to get better.
Yeah. Wow.
I have another day to improve something. I've been given another chance. Mm. I've been given another day. And my next day is not going to be wasted on trying to finish. My tomorrow is going to be spent on enjoying the process that tomorrow brings. And I'm going to bring a process to tomorrow. So I'm bringing something into my tomorrow. I'm bringing a mentality that I'm committed to the process. Mm. I'm in love with the process. And that gets me to the next day, and I'm going to be in love with I'm taking with me every day the process and the power of it and the freedom that comes from knowing that I'm in the middle of a process, and if I stick with it and if I stay with it, I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have peace just knowing I'm staying with it, and I'm going to have peace knowing that I'm okay with the process, and I'm in love with the process. So maybe somebody needs to pray. Maybe you need to just ask God, give me a love for the process. Yeah. Let's not leave
That's
God
good.
Out of the equation.
Really
let's invite him into our situation. Let's invite him into help us change our mindset and what we're focused on. Lord, give me the eyes to see the process is a part of your beauty. The process is part of, God didn't make everything in one day. He made everything in 6 days and then rested on the seventh. Yeah. He could have made everything in one day, but he was modeling for us that life is a process, that it didn't start out with all the animals and man and the birds and the fish. And it started out just with the heavens, and he created the heavens and the earth day one.
Right.
He didn't have it finished on day one.
Yeah.
So why do we think we can?
Yeah.
And he's okay with that.
Yeah, that's really good. What was the day that he created man? Do you know?
I think the sixth
day, and then he created woman on that day.
Yeah, well he created man, and then he took one look at man and said, I think I knew better than that.
Right,
and then he
is.
Made women.
There it is, yeah.
So old.
No, but, I love it. But it's good. Yeah, because I mean, I just think about that. Like, even God didn't do that right the first time.
He didn't complete the process the first time. He created man as male and female inside of him.
Right.
And then took Eve out of Adam's side.
That's cool.
Yeah, you're right. It's even man and woman, Adam and Eve, it was a process.
He didn't do it like immediately both of them were created.
Right.
It was one. And then he was like, this is also what I'm going to do. And so yeah. I think there's something to that.
There is something to
giving,
that.
Giving room for things that you don't quite know yet or haven't quite predicted you would need to do, or, and maybe God knew he was going to do that all along, but just, it's a good example, I think.
But he's modeling for us.
Yeah.
Yes, he did know that he was going to do that, but he's modeling for us that nothing is an overnight project. Nothing happens overnight. It's a process, and be in love with the process and know that God is in love with the process because he uses process. He said, here's another thing that will really help with uncertainty now, since we're talking about that, circling back to that. So Jesus says the kingdom of God in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, the kingdom of God is like a man that plants seed in the ground and he goes to bed at night. He gets up by day and the seed grows, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head, which also shows a process. But the thing that it says that is delivered me from stress, and there are several layers of stress that I've been delivered from and probably some more that yet to be delivered from, but one of the layers of stress that got removed from my life is when I realized that God was able to tell, God shows us the kingdom of God is a man planting seed. So one of the things that delivers me from the stress of uncertainty is that I can be certain about the harvest I'm going to get based on the seeds that I sow. Mm. So one of the factors that takes away uncertainty is if I'm uncertain and it's causing stress because I need some green beans in my garden, what delivers me from the uncertainty is that I can plant green bean seeds and have confidence that those seeds are going to produce a harvest of green beans. So now knowing that system, knowing that process frees me from the uncertainty and the stress that goes along with the uncertainty.
Yeah.
So the kingdom of God is like a man that plants seed in the ground, then he goes to bed at night. And that's a key. Hmm. He plants the seed and then he goes to bed at night.
Yeah.
It's like he's on a regular schedule.
Yeah.
And I think people are on such irregular schedules and they don't get good sleep and they don't get good rest and they're all over the place. We have to discipline our lives by going to bed early, getting up early, go to bed at a certain time, get up at a certain time, but give yourself time to rest because that's how the kingdom of God operates. We plant the seed, whether it's our financial seed, whether it's word seeds, whether it's seeds of kindness, and then we go to bed, we rest. Now I trust in the power of the seed to produce what God said it's going to produce, a harvest.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a death blow to uncertainty in many ways.
That's awesome. Well, two things I just wanted to draw out really quick as we wrap up. There's the thing on rest, I think, is huge, and it's underestimated. Sleep is very underrated.
Really is. That's right.
And absolutely. So I do think, and I heard somebody articulate this well recently, they said, I never want my sleep. Sleep is like money, and it's deficit turns into debt.
Yeah.
So if I have I never want to have a deficit of sleep because then it's going to turn into a debt and I'm going to owe a lot and it's going to show up and it's going to turn to burnout. It's going to show up in other areas where I need to be well. So I don't want to miss that because I do think that's one practical physical step that we can take to set ourselves up for being less stressed.
My doctor told me 5 years ago and then everything changed when I listened to him and he said, he said, how's your health? And I go through all the routine.
Yeah.
And then I said, but I'm struggling with sleep. I don't sleep that much. And he said, listen, stop right there. He said, sleep deprivation will cause more negative things in your life than just about anything else during your day. So he said, you have to protect your sleep. You have to find a way, whether it's taking, the melatonin or some people use that, some people it works for, some people it doesn't, but I've found a little concoction of how to make sure I fall asleep and sleep well.
Yeah.
And it's taken me 50 years to come to that, but I really want to encourage what you're saying is people need to rest. Plant your seeds of God's word, plant your seeds of doing a good job at work, plant your seeds at being kind to the people before you go to bed, resolve your conflict, but then go to sleep and rest and let the seeds produce.
And the last thing I did want to draw out is what you said. I'm really thankful you mentioned this, is that make sure you involve God in the process.
Because
we cannot overlook the power of asking God for help as we are on this mission to become less stressed people, to be more at peace. Like Jesus is the greatest source of peace, and the peace, not, he says, not that the world gives, but this is a peace that I give to you, right? And there is a difference between peace that the world gives, which I believe is circumstantial, right? It's like the circumstance dictates my peace, but obviously Jesus was able to sleep in the boat when the circumstances were out of control.
That's right.
So the peace that comes from Jesus is a peace of just being attached to and aware of his presence.
That's
right.
So
and
powerful.
So I think that's where we need to go when we don't know what else to do, we don't know how to get control of this stress. Start there and lean into the presence of God, because that is the greatest source of peace and rest that we could ever find. So I want to thank you for drawing that out.
Great.
I think that's massive.
And leaning into his presence means people need to know God is always present with you. Mm. If you're a believer, he's always with you, but it's your awareness of his presence that brings the peace. So we have to breathe in his presence in, like, just talking to him and praising him and just thinking about him, and peace will come.
Yeah.
Supernatural peace will come. So let's involve God in the process. Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'll let you wrap this up, but I do want to just thank you again for leading us in becoming a less stressed person, me personally, becoming less stressed, and giving your wisdom and your insight on how we can find, you know, a peace that we need, that God created us to have. So thank you for that.
We're going to destroy those other roots.
Yeah.
We're going to uproot those other things next time. And thank you as well. And the greatest peace begins with inviting Jesus into your life, right? The Bible says, by faith we have, by grace we enter into this faith in which we stand, or by faith we enter into this grace in which we stand, and we have the peace of God. Being born again, accepting Jesus into your life, causes you to have peace with God. Peace with God is the most important part of your life. And if you're not at peace with him, if you don't believe that he's in your life yet, if you've never received him and you had assurance that you're going to heaven, let's pray right now to receive Jesus into your life. Pray this prayer after me, and you can be absolutely sure you're going to heaven when you die. Just pray this. Heavenly Father, that's it. Just say that. Heavenly Father, I invite Jesus Christ into my life as my Savior and Lord. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Just say that out loud. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. And from this moment forward, I'm a child of God. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, it's so simple. If you prayed that prayer, you're a child of God. Jesus did all the work for you. All you have to do is receive it. And if you prayed that, let me know, connect with me, get a copy of the book that's on your screen right now. There's a link to it. It's absolutely free. You can download it anywhere in the world. And just thanks everybody for joining us.
Yeah.
And thanks for hosting this,
absolutely,
Robert,
and
congratulations to those that accepted Jesus. Please let us know and tell us what happened, and get that book downloaded. It's absolutely free. It'll change your life. That's the next steps of this Christian journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, just want to thank everyone again for watching or listening. If you're watching this right now, maybe you're on the YouTube channel, or if you're not, go to the YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe so you get all of these, all of this content here, all of our Sunday content. You can go to the Gregory Dickow channel and the Gregory Dickow podcast. If you're listening right now, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and leave a review. If you got something out of this and you want to just share that little nugget with someone, share something, a takeaway, drop a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, and make sure you subscribe there as well. Dad, thanks so much for the content today.
And
we will be back next week, and we'll be back on Sunday.
Yeah. Love you guys. So, we'll see you Sunday.
Yeah. All right.